Today we have Lisa Harris-Jones with us, who's a partner at Harris Jones and Malone with offices in Baltimore and Annapolis, Maryland. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Lisa's also a fellow podcaster, so listen to her show as well.
Sure, it's Inside Out. We air it on Center Maryland, so yeah.
Great. I've worked with you for a few years now, and you've known Stateside for longer, but I don't think I know your story. How did you get involved in government affairs and lobbying and politics and all that?
So as an attorney, I worked in a Baltimore law firm that did a lot of work with City Hall in the city of Baltimore. And in summary, while I started off to be a securities lawyer and do IPOs, I was just way too, I had too much energy to sit at a desk, and I got involved with City Hall, the mayor's office, city council, and started to build a small practice in government relations there, which eventually led me to Annapolis. And so my firm now does Annapolis and all of the local jurisdictions throughout Maryland.
Well, thank you again for joining us today. Could you give our listeners kind of a broad overview of the gubernatorial coming up in November? I know you guys have moderate Republican Governor Hogan running for re-election versus pretty progressive Democrat and Ben Jealous. So,
sure. I think one of the things that when people look at Maryland, because during the presidential races, it's a pretty deep blue state, there's an assumption that how can a Republican possibly be reelected for two terms? And in this case, we have Governor Hogan, who actually just recently polled at 68% favorable in Maryland. And he's leading 52% with, I believe, Ben Jealous at 37-38%. So if there was an election today, he would clearly be the winner. And I think it's because Hogan has done a very good job with not associating himself with the Trump administration and focusing completely on those issues that Marylanders care about, healthcare, education, things along those lines. So this upcoming election, we're going to, if I were a betting woman, I would say that Hogan should win.
Maryland on its face in political wise is pretty unique. As we were just talking about, very popular Republican governor, but the Democratic Party dominates the state house, and it's electorally at the presidential level, it's been a pretty blue state. But we've been seeing around the country kind of a big year for Democrats. I mean, do you expect any surprises in the General Assembly coming up this fall?
Sure. Well, we had our biggest surprises actually during the primary.
Okay.
In the Senate specifically, we had three, after one senator who chaired the Budget and Tax Committee, which is a pretty powerful committee, retired, we saw two other senators actually lose their races. Senator Joan Carr Conway in Education, Health, and Environmental Affairs. We knew that she had a pretty strong opponent, but we did not expect her to lose. And then we had Senator Mac Middleton on the Finance Committee that controls a lot of issues from insurance and procurement and health care. He lost, and that was the one that no one expected to lose. And then on the House side, we had a longstanding chair of the Judiciary Committee lose. So the primary in and of itself was an upset in Maryland. Now we're going into the general. What you'll see is that, yes, it's a very, Maryland is 2-1 Democratic, but voters are very thoughtful voters in Maryland. So in local elections, you have more Republicans as county executives. Same people that may be voting for, in some cases, like in Howard County, Anne Arundel County, Harford County, and those counties where you have Republicans as county executives, they're being very thoughtful, and they may still vote for a Democratic senator or a Democratic delegate. So we're seeing a trend of ticket splitting. So, but with that said, while the Republicans would love to gain 5 more seats in the Senate so that they can have the ability to block the Democrats' ability to override vetoes, they'll likely only see maybe 2 new seats. But in the House, they're losing seats, where they'll probably gain at least 5 new additional seats, they being the Democrats.
And these folks that are running in these legislative races, particularly the folks that ousted the rather powerful incumbents, what issues were they running on? What do you think resonated with voters?
I think in the primary, you had new voters, a new type of voter that possibly Ben Jealous was able to bring out, and also the Trump effect. I think there was a little Trump effect going on during the primary throughout Maryland, where you had new voters and a sense of they wanted change. And so in that case, you had some young legislators that were already in the House that were able to make the point that you need new energy, new thoughts, new ideas, you need new leadership. For instance, you had Senator McFadden, who's been a part of the General Assembly or an elected official since the 80s. He was ousted by a first-term member of the House of Delegates, Corey McCray, who is in his mid to kind of late 30s. And you had Antonio Hayes as well, who ousted Senator Barbara Robinson, who was, I believe, in her 80s, and he just turned 40. So in that case, you saw a lot of new young elected officials ousting older ones on the basis of new energy, new thoughts, new ideas. I don't think you'll see that in the general, however. I think in the general, it'll be a little different than that.
Given the dynamic is likely to stay the same with the governor's office, but also taken into account that there have been some primary losses, what does that mean for policy in Maryland with the General Assembly coming back in January 2019?
Well, the big issue in Maryland is education.
Okay.
And there was a very strong discussion during the past session. There's the Kerwin Commission that was set up to look at funding and other things related to education. There should be a report out in the next couple of weeks, maybe a month from now, discussing those issues and what the state should do to move forward with funding local jurisdictions and education. So from that report, we're going to see a lot of legislation. There's going to be a lot of discussion on how to fund it. And what's interesting about the report and the issue of education, it's something that resonates on both the Republican and Democratic side. There isn't a split there. Republicans and Democrats want to see better public education. The fight's going to be which jurisdiction is going to get what allotment of money. But that's going to be the big thing. And, of course, it's the cost of health care.
Yeah.
That was there were some things that were worked on this past session in 2018, and we're going to see some follow-up to that in 2019.
So what else would you want people to know about Maryland? We've been talking about the election. We've been talking about the political makeup. What's something that makes Maryland unique?
Well, I think for it being such a blue state on a national level, again, locally and within the state houses, I would say that it's very centrist and very diverse, with certain delegations being dominated by women. But there's a lot of diversity. And because of that, for instance, my firm, Harris Jones Malone, was built on the fact that we wanted to have gender, race, party affiliation, diversity to reflect what we see when we go to Annapolis.
Today we've been talking with Lisa Harris Jones from Maryland. This has been a terrific conversation. Thanks for being a part of it.
Oh, thanks for having me.